Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to worship here at Flat Springs Baptist Church. We're so excited to see each of you here this morning. If you are visiting with us, we want to say a special welcome to you. We would ask that you would look for the card that's in the pew right in front of you that you can fill out to tell us just a little bit about you. And if you would, when the offering plate comes around, just put that in there so that we can get to know you better a little bit. I have several announcements, and bear with me, some were just given to me as I walked in the door, so I'll try my best to get them all and to get them correct. The first one is that today and next Sunday, nominating committee will be handing out lists of your service for the past year, and then they want you just to check it, and it'll have instructions on the sheet for you, but just go over that sheet. And then when you're done, there's a basket in the atrium where you can place that in there, and they would like it returned by July the 9th, okay? Next Sunday, there will be a church council meeting at 9 o'clock in here in the sanctuary. And then also, next Sunday evening at 6 o'clock in the fellowship hall, there will be a movie night sponsored by the Outreach Committee. They will be showing The Insanity of God. It's a true story of missionaries Nick and Ruth Ripken, a story of fate and persecution and how to walk with Jesus day by day, even when it doesn't make sense. Refreshments will be provided. Also, looking ahead, July 9th, there will be a special called business meeting at 10:55 for the selection of deacons. If you look in your bulletin, you will see listed there are six candidates for which you will be choosing. And you'll be choosing three. So I'll go ahead and read those off just so that you can go ahead and be thinking about that. Brad Vauvert, Reed Cagle, Adam Gaines, Mark Love, Jack Marks, and Fed Walker. Also, looking ahead, July 22nd, which is a Saturday, there will be a men's cleanup day here at church, and it will begin at 8 a.m. Also want to bring special recognition to the flowers that are placed in the church today by the grandchildren of Lucy Bell Kelly in honor of her homegoing. We had a celebration yesterday here held at the church. And now I ask that you please just turn your hearts and minds towards worship. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be in your house this morning. God, I pray that you would just be with us now, that the words that come out of our mouths as we sing the songs and as we listen to the songs of praise and the words that are spoken by Pastor Gary in the sermon, that they would all be pleasing to you and that you would hear them as nothing but worship. God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here today. Help us to use it to the best of our abilities. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If the children would come down at this time.
I think, between 55 and 60, and of course a lot of them were visitors, and so this is a representation of them, and that's why a lot of our workers are wearing the blue shirts, and our kids are wearing their shirts. We've got all kinds of shirts, FSYC's representing as well, So listen to them now as they share our theme song.
Children's sermon, so if y'all want to come right here, yeah. We're a little bit crazy this morning. That's all right. All right. So, good morning. I have something that I need y'all's help with today. Do you think you can help me? Maybe? We're going to try. Okay. So, I brought something with me. I've got a special mystery person that we're going to try to figure out who I'm talking about this morning, okay? And these are going to help us. We've got to try to figure it out. So we'll start here. Can you hold this up for me? All right, can everybody see that? Yeah, right here. Okay, the first letter that we have is F. F is for forgiving. Even when we disobey or do something wrong, this person is willing to forgive us. All right, let's see what the next letter is. How about this one? All right. A. A is for attentive. When we need someone to talk to, this person is willing to listen to what we have to say. All right. Here's the next one. Can you hold this for me? Can you hold that letter? That letter is T. T is for teacher. This person teaches us the most important lessons of our life. He teaches us right from wrong. He teaches us by example how to love one another. And we've got this one right here. Can you hold that? Thank you, sweetheart. H. H is for helpful. This person helps us to make the important decisions we face each day. He may offer advice or he may just be a good listener, but he is always there to help us. All right, next one. Can you hold that? Thank you. Okay, that's E. E is for energetic. No matter how tired he is, this person always seems to find the energy to do things with us and for us. And the last one right here, can you hold that? Thank you. R. R is for ready. This person is always ready to reach out and love to us. He is ready to do whatever we may need. All right, do you know what that spells? F-A-T-H-E-R. What does that spell? Father, that's right. What are we celebrating today?
Father's Day.
Father's Day, yeah. And we just listed all those things that tell us what a father is like, right? But do you know what the good news is for us today as Christians? Did you know that we have two fathers? We have a father that's on earth here with us, our daddies. But then we also have a father in heaven, God. Isn't that awesome? So today, as you're celebrating Father's Day with your dad here on earth, we also want to remember that we have a father in heaven. We want to say happy Father's Day to him as well, okay? Can we pray together? Dear God, thank you so much for these children that are here this morning. God, we thank you that today we get to celebrate our fathers here on heaven and that we get to celebrate you too, God, our heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Children return, let's turn to hymn number 411, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here on this beautiful Father's Day. Lord, be with the sick and the ones on our prayer list. Lord, be with the ones that are hurting throughout our nation and our world. And let us never forget that you are our true Father. Bless us, forgive us for our many sins and bless us for what we have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
happy Father's Day. We want to take this time now to recognize any fathers that we have with us today. So if you are a father or a grandfather or like a father to someone, please stand up. Let me give you a hand. And I've embarrassed you enough, so you can sit back down. But I do have this that I would like to read to all of our fathers out there. It's a poem, and it's entitled, A Father is a Christian. My father is a Christian. He leads our household well. With instruction from the Bible, right behavior he'll compel. Yet he steers us with compassion. His gentle love is true. He conforms to our Lord Jesus, so we know just what to do. He teaches us with purpose, guides us in all godly ways, so we will take the right path and serve our Lord with praise. I'm glad you're a Christian, Dad. You help me see things clearly. I'll always look up to you and love you very dearly. Happy Father's Day.
Beautiful, taking an old familiar hymn and putting a new tune to it. Let's sing, take the insert in your bulletin and let's sing Awesome God. Let's stand as we sing.
Happy Father's Day, and time, if you are like me and your father is in glory, it's a day of remembering, and those are powerful moments and opportunities for us, and I think of my dad often. You would open to our prayer concerns. We do want to be remembering Miss Joanne Thomas, who will be having surgery this Tuesday at Duke Hospital. Keep her lifted up. John Mullins has a friend who's at Reed Heart Center. We want to lift up him in our thoughts and in our prayers as well. We do want to continue to remember the Lucy Bell Kelly family, as we did have her service of homegoing yesterday, and continue to remember them as they continue to adjust to all of that. And we want to remember Brother John Floyd. He's with us today, but he's also undergoing some testing. We want to keep him lifted up as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, on Father's Day, we praise your name. Oh, to be able to live as Peyton's saying, it is well with my soul, is the greatest gift. We are mindful of what it's like when home is good. We know what it's like when home is not good. And our hope is to make it good and to keep it good. To be able to sing it as well. And so, Lord, today remind us that oftentimes for it to be well at home, it has to be well with our soul spiritually and our walk with you. And so, Lord, on this day when we think of family, we think of the gift of the patriarch of a home, the father. We are grateful. And for those of us that have been blessed to have a good and a godly father, a dad, what a tremendous blessing. And for some of us, maybe today, that was not our experience. And so rather than allow that to be a painful memory, Lord, would you help us to make it a challenge in our life? To move into your glorious grace and to give double thanks for you being our Father and to take even difficult circumstances and decide to do better. Lord, we have mentioned those that have special needs today, folks that are on this list, that are on our heart and mind, and we lift them to your care and we ask God that you would bless them in a very special way. We ask God that you would guide and direct us as we continue to move forward into your future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I jumped the gun on our scripture reader. Sorry about that, Hannah.
Ephesians 3:14-19. This is the reason I kneel in the presence of our Father, from whom all the family in heaven and on earth receives its name. I'm asking God to give you a gift from the wealth of his glory. I pray that he would give you inner strength and power through the Spirit. Then Christ will live in you through faith. I also pray that love may be the ground into which you sink your roots and on which you have your foundation. This way, with all God's people, you will be able to understand how wide, long, high, and deep his love is. You will know Christ's love, which goes far beyond any knowledge. I am praying this so that you may be completely filled with God.
Thank you. Pray again. I prayed for the wrong time.
You should pray for this.
While she's getting herself situated, I do want to thank you all for being with our family for the last week of Granny Lucy's life and all the days that led up to that. And want to say about this particular song, some people had requested it. It seems only fitting to acknowledge not only our earthly fathers, but our heavenly Father on such a day as this.
Thank you.
Thank you, FSYC. Indeed, we do worship a good, good Father. And thank you, Peyton, for that special, special music. It is well with my soul. I'd like to add one more name I meant to mention before our prayer, that of Melena Risk. That's a friend of Randy Keck's and an organization he's a part of. And she is at a critical point in her third time battling cancer. And they were talking, and he asked, her husband asked if we would pray for her. So if you would add her to your prayer list, I would appreciate that. This morning, I want us to talk about a family decision. And we're going to use, as the scriptures seem to be full of, an unlikely person. Now, I'm a little concerned because I'm not here in a suit today. And I'm just wondering if this is like, if a suit is to me like hair was to Samson. So if this is a sorry sermon, I'll hear it at the door. Go ahead. Be honest with me. But I promise you there'll be a suit on me next Sunday when I gather for worship. I just won't get away from that, I don't believe. But to be with my vacation Bible schools today, I'm willing. Cornelius, I bet you know that name. Our text is going to be Acts chapter 10, verses 22 through 33. But we're really going to be jumping right in the middle of the story. So let me give you a little background. If you look at in Acts chapter 10, it says at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. Now, that lets us know that he was the leader of 100 men. He was a significant military leader in the Roman army. Now, for us reading that, we think, so what? But to the first readers of this text, no doubt they said, he was what? He was what? Because that would be a big issue. We can maybe come close to the hatred that existed between the Jews and the Romans when we think of the Palestinians today and the Israelites. And so here God is doing what God seems to always want to do. He's crossing lines. He's challenging our thought and our thinking. And it says, now this will make it a little more palatable, that he was a devout man who feared God. In fact, those folks were referred to as God-fearers. What does that tell us? That means that he had embraced a great deal of the Jewish faith. He was still a Gentile. He had not been circumcised. There were only certain areas of the temple in which he would even be allowed to go. But he would be one who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He understood Moses as God's man, and the Ten Commandments were significant in his life. And the scripture goes on to say that he was praying at the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because the Jews had certain times they would pray. And so he was following their custom. And there's a great story. I won't give you all the story. You can go back and read it this afternoon. But an angel's going to appear to him and say, we've heard your prayer. And I'll talk about that in the message. It goes on to tell him, the angel tells him to go and send for a man named Simon Peter. And he'll tell him what he needs to hear. And so with that, he sends two of his men. They go, they find Simon Peter, and he makes the trip. And we'll begin in our text, Acts chapter 10. We'll begin to read in verse 22, and we will read through verse 33. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's Word. And let's dive in the middle, shall we? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you, that's Peter, to come to his house and to hear what you have to say. Remember that. And so he invited them to be his guests. And the next day, he rose and went with them. And some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. I love when folks are expecting stuff. What are you expecting today? Cornelius was expecting them. He was looking for them. He was ready for them. And he had called together his family, his relatives, and his close friends. He had a congregation waiting. He was ready for church. He was ready for God to say something that he needed to hear. And when Peter entered, Cornelius met him, and he fell down at his feet, and he worshiped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa." Peter didn't say that. I said that. Peter said, "Stand up. I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and he found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown that I should not call any person common or unclean." Boy, we ought to read that again. "But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean, anyone unworthy, whosoever will." Verse 29. "So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then, 'Why you sent for me?' And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house, and at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea.' So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we're all here in the presence of the Lord to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." We need to read that again. "So therefore, we're all here in the presence of God to hear all that you've been commanded by the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. And grant us, as we are here in his presence, to hear what he's commanded. Would you pray with me? God, would you speak to us in this moment? We do, Lord, again, want to take just a moment to lift Miss Risk to you as she battles cancer and ask your blessing to be upon her on this journey. And God, we pause now in the midst of this spiritual story to invite you to come to our spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it's Father's Day, and, you know, it's tough raising kids, isn't it? I love the story I heard so long ago. I don't know that I've ever used this in a sermon. It's about a little fella back in the days when, you know, you had to walk to school, and overalls were passed down from one to another, But this dad had it in his mind that education, even back then, might be a way up for his kids. And so he was insistent that they study. He was insistent, especially, that they didn't talk in school. And he had gotten a couple of notes that his youngest boy had been chatting it up in school. Y'all never got one of those notes, did you? He warned him, "Now, son, you can't do that. You can't learn." He gave him some sound fatherly advice. He said, "Son, God gave you two ears and one mouth. You ought to be listening twice as much as you're talking." And he said, "Son, I'm going to help you remember that. Because if you bring me another one of these notes home from that teacher, I'm going to tan your hide." Y'all go home and Google what that means, okay? Well, it went about a week, but he was sitting in class one day and he had some stuff to say. You know what I'm talking about. And class was going way too long and he couldn't wait. And so he had to tell his little neighbor. And as he got ready to leave, the teacher said, "I need you to take this note home." He knew what that was all about. Well, he got to thinking as he was headed home, as little boys will do, I guess. And he remembered that his mom had a cast iron frying pan that was just about the same size as his endangered park. And he figured that once he got it in those overalls, that if he put the handle down on the right side of the leg, there was a patch right there, it would hold that thing securely in place. And so although normally he came home through the front door, he came home this time and went straight to the kitchen and prepared himself for discipline. You hear what I'm saying? And so he went, and as he made his way in, he saw his dad there and he handed him that note. His dad opened that note and began to read and shook his head. He said, "Son, I told you about this. And I told you what was going to happen. If you brought home another note, you can listen in class." He said, "So, son, I'm fixing to spank you." He said, "Okay, Dad." He said, "Son, I want you to know one thing. Well, I give you the spanking." He said, "What's that, Dad?" He said, "This is going to hurt you a whole lot more than it hurts me. This is going to hurt me a whole lot more than it hurts you." Little boy said, "Yep, Daddy, you're exactly right. He really is." It's hard disciplining kids. We want so much for them. We want them to have everything. We want them to succeed in every way. We want the best for our children. If we love our children. And the chances are that every one of us sitting here want that for our children. We want that for our family. We want our family to have the best. We want our brothers and sisters to have the best. We want mom and dad to have the best. Well, that's what God wants. That's what God wants. God wants us to be able to make those right decisions, choices. I said to the Wednesday night group, and I've worked on it a little bit even before, I said choices are important. The choices we make in circumstances are more important than our circumstances. That might be the most significant thing I say in this sermon. So let me say it again. Choices are important, and the choices we make in circumstances, when it's hard, when things are bad, when things are tough, when things are unfair, when things are wrong, it's the choices that we make that are more important than the circumstances. I think that's what we can learn today. I was impressed this week with Bible school, especially with the little bitty ones. I love the little bitty ones, you know. One day they'll grow up to be teenagers, and I still love them anyway. And I want to tell you, time out from sermon, our youth did a phenomenal job with our kids this week, leading and helping them in Bible school. I was very proud. But those little guys, you would see a teacher walking, and one little child might be walking, and all of a sudden she'd say, "Oh, no, 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 not that way, turn." And that little guy or that little girl, turn on a dime. Just turn on. Not always. Now, I'm giving the best of this, okay? Occasionally there had to be a little more direction, but it was amazing to watch them move at the directions of the adult. And I began to think about that. Just a moment ago, we sang the hymn about trusting the Lord, trusting the Lord. And I thought those children, it just was a visual for me of what God was saying to me about how do I trust Him, because here these babies were that had been entrusted to us for this week. Their parents had given us their authority that we could take them and take care of them and love them. And those parents trusted that we wouldn't do them any harm, that we would do them good, and we did our best, and I think we did well. But to watch those children trust and obey. Trust and obey. It's amazing how they follow you and do what you want them to do. And I couldn't help but wonder, what would it be like if I followed my Lord the way an obedient child follows the direction of a loving adult? Well, I think Cornelius, this kind of hard guy, he teaches us that lesson. He gives us a wonderful insight into what it must have been like. He gives us the idea that, well, let me give you three things he did. First, he decided to listen to God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 4, I love what happens in this dialogue. And the angel has come to him, and angels are scary. And it says, and he stared at him, Cornelius stared at the angel in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And the angel said to him, listen to what he said. "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God." There was what's called a memorial offering. It's usually a grain offering that would be offered in the temple. And what that angel is saying is, you've been listening to God. You've been praying. You've been doing the right thing. You've been listening. Oh, he'd been talking with God, been sharing his heart with God. I wonder what kind of prayers he must have been praying that God would send an angel. It doesn't seem like he was asking for easier work or a better house. It doesn't seem like he was praying for an air conditioner in the temple. No, it seems like instead he must have been praying, "God, give me more. Help it be real. Help me understand, God, because this is so similar to what happened to the Apostle Paul." Remember when he was on the road to Damascus? I've often said, and I haven't read it very often, but I still believe it, that the reason God came and Jesus actually appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus was because he knew his heart was in the right place. Although Paul was doing the wrong thing, he knew he was not trying to follow him as a Pharisee for the power of being a Pharisee, but Paul was trying to do what he thought God wanted him to do, and he sent Jesus to give that correction. And here's Cornelius trying to follow God. He knows that the God of Abraham and Isaac is the one true God. He wants to love him. And God saw it because God heard his prayer. God hears our prayers. And God hears us when we don't pray. And God knows what we're asking for before we ask it. It's not about what we ask for. It's the fact that we're in conversation. And then there's an interesting thing that takes place when one decides to listen to God. God seems to help everybody involved. You see, Peter's going to get some help. Peter's been seeing these crazy visions about this big blanket coming down and this crazy picnic on the blanket of animals that no Jew in his right mind would ever consume. And being told nothing's unclean, nothing's common, kill and eat it. And he doesn't understand, but when the fellows come from Caesarea to Joppa and they find him, and on the way, Peter realized, God's fixing to do something bigger than me. Oh, I pray that God would do something bigger than Flat Springs. You pray that way? God, do something bigger than us. Because we've been doing good for a long time. But God, do something bigger than us. And that's what God did with Peter and Cornelius. Cornelius, who had been faithfully listening. I don't know how long he'd been listening. We don't have an indication. Apparently, this wasn't his first time of being in this position. And he'd been all around and heard, no doubt he'd even heard about Jesus, but he didn't understand. He'd just been staying where he was. He had just been listening. And now it's time for God to speak. Maybe you've been listening for a while. And maybe today God's going to say something brand new. Maybe God's going to say something about what you need to do in your home. About what you need to do at work. About what you need to do in the church. But often, God works that powerful way. He helped Peter grow in his understanding. And he brought Cornelius to saving knowledge of who Christ was. You ever think what that angel, why that angel didn't just tell Cornelius what it was? I mean, Peter's good. I'm going to give him kudos. I mean, the fellow preached one sermon and 3,000 souls walked the aisle. I'd love to have that on my resume. That'd be cool. You know, that's Billy Graham kind of stuff right there. So Peter's good. I'm not, but an angel? Come on. Would you rather hear from Peter or from an angel? Well, there's a theology there. There's an important reason why the angel said. The angel knew Cornelius was honest about seeking. He really wanted to hear what was happening. He wanted to go deeper. Do we want to go deeper with God? You know what I'm going to tell you, and it hurts my heart to say this, that probably most of us here today don't really want to go deeper with God because we're not willing to do what it would take to go deeper. Cornelius wanted to go deeper with God. The angel says, we understand God's been listening to you. You've been listening to God. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to connect with the person God's called to tell you how to do it. That's the theology. God always chooses to bear his good news through us, through you, and to me. He wants us to be sharing. You know, the folks who live on Deep River who don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I doubt very seriously an angel is going to come through the cable or through the dish network and speak to them, but you could go, or I could go, and carry them the good news. Cornelius was ready. He was ready. He wanted to hear. I believe there are people who live in our community, who live next to us. They really want to know, but they're struggling. Are we listening? Cornelius, I love what it says in our text. Cornelius, he made a family decision. He made a family decision that the whole family was going to listen. I love it when he said in faith that Peter would come and he gathered together. He knew how long it would take his guys to get there. He knew how long it would take them to get back. And when they walked into the house, he had the whole crowd. He had church gathered. You see, I think back to those children again in Bible school. This week, if a family decision hadn't been made to get them here, they wouldn't be here. 5-year-olds can't drive. They can't ride their bike this far. Parents who were at the daycare, they had to make a family decision to allow us to have their children for the week. We have to make family decisions. And moms and dads, oh, the family decisions you make impact your children more than any decision anybody else will ever make for them, especially at this critical time of their young lives as they're developing. Cornelius decided that it was important for his children and for his family, maybe moms and dads, uncles and aunts, doesn't say, it just says his relatives. He got everybody that he knew, that he loved, that was in his circle. He wanted the whole world to hear what God was saying. You see, Cornelius decided to drive the car for his family and put them in a place to listen to what God would have to say. A family that prays regularly together can overcome a great deal of obstacles this world will throw at us. But probably some of us here are saying, it's hard for us to have a family prayer time. And it would be weird if we started it now. Be weird. Be weird. pray with your family. Not only did he listen, he also decided to learn from God. In Acts chapter 10, verse 33 of our text, he says, "So I sent for you at once, and you've been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we're here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." We want to hear it all. We want to learn what God is up to. We want to understand better what God is up to. We want you today, God, to impact our life, that when we live this week, we'll live differently. That's what he was saying. Listening's not enough. You have to make application. It's not just enough to put your foot in the door. It's not just enough to listen, but you've got to learn. You see, the scriptures tell us over in that first part of chapter 10 that Cornelius was a good man. It goes on, he was devout, he was faithful, he gave alms, he prayed. This was a good guy. But this is one of those indications where being good's not good enough. People need the Lord. They need the forgiveness of their sin. Good men are good men, good women are good women, but we're all sinners. And apart from the grace of Jesus Christ applied to our life, we're all lost. And Cornelius was lost. And when God spoke to him, he had so prepared himself because he was a good man, because he did want to hear what God had to say, that he was ready. And then finally this morning, he decided to live for God. He listened, he learned, and he lived. The Holy Spirit fell on their house. If you still have your Bibles over in verse 45, and the believers from among the circumcised, the Jewish believers, those that had come from Joppa, had come with Peter, it says they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on even the Gentiles. He began to live. Cornelius, he had not come just to hear a sermon. He had come to hear from God. He hadn't come to hear what God might want to do. He wanted marching orders. He wanted to know where God was going. And he was committed before he started listening to go with God. And the Spirit fell upon such a willing heart. The Spirit fell upon his life. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God. The same Spirit that fell in the upper room when the disciples were praying. The same Spirit that fell when Pentecost came about and Peter preached. And the Spirit fell on that congregation. And it fell today in Caesarea of Philippi on a Roman military. It fell like rain. Oh, it fell with power. I was thinking this week. Remember when it rained here? What was that, Wednesday night? I mean, I had an inch and a half of rain the next day. Thunder and lightning. Well, I've got a little dog named Snow. If you hadn't met Snow, you're lucky. She'll love you to death, but she'll bark her head off for the first few minutes. But when it's just Lunette and me, she's a good dog. And it was time to take her out. And I was seeing the lightning. I thought, well, you're going to bed early tonight, Snow. And so I took her out. And boy, there was thunder and lightning everywhere. I mean, it was cracking. Snow doesn't like thunder when she's outside. She ignores it when she's in the house. But that thing was flashing and popping, and she wasn't too happy, but she finally took care of her business, and we came back in, and she went to bed and slept well. And no sooner had I put her to bed, and Nett and I were doing something at the kitchen table, and all of a sudden, I heard the rain. And I mean, it was like, man, I thought there might be some hell in this rain. And so I went and looked out, and I thought, man, I was standing right there 4 minutes ago, but I'm still dry because I got that dog out and got her back in before the rain fell. Well, yesterday morning, I got up early and put on my suit. I had a pretty full day yesterday, but still had to take that dog out. You know, that's how dogs are, aren't they? And so I decided, well, come on, let's go. And so I took her out, and sometimes in the morning, she needs to discover everything that's been in the yard the night before. You know how dogs are. And I'm like, come on, Snow, we got to go. Let's do this. And it started to rain. Just like. Come on, Snow, let's go. Well, it wasn't bothering Snow at all. And it got heavier and heavier. And now I'm no longer under the shelter. I'm no longer in the house. I'm out in the middle of the backyard, and here comes the bottom. You know what I'm saying? And finally I say, dog, I'm going to the house. You do what you got to do. I'll see you later. Well, she came on in. Why'd I tell you those two silly stories about my dog, Snow? I think it's like the Holy Spirit, the rain. You see, sometimes we can shelter ourselves with the things of this world, and the Holy Spirit will be falling all around us. But spiritually, we'll be dry. We'll be safe in the world. Think about that for a moment. But when we venture out and get away from that shelter that the world has made, then the rain can fall. And it doesn't take the rain long, trust me, to get you wet today. Cornelius listened, and he learned, and then he lived. If he'd only listened and not learned, it wouldn't have done him any good. If he'd only learned and not lived, it would have done him no good. But when he did all three, his life was changed. Verse 48 says, and he commanded them to be baptized. And then the Cornelius and that crowd, they said, would you just stay and teach us more? When the rain falls, the Holy Spirit, we want more. We want more. We want more in our home. We want more in our life. We want more in our community. It makes a difference today. Today, I wonder what kind of family decision do we need to make for the Lord? It begins with us, not that other member of the family, but with me. And with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you remove the shingles of our job and the plyboard of our hobbies and the insulation of our daily activities, and let us step out from under those shelters that if we get too busy, we'll stop your Holy Spirit from raining down upon us. And we pray, oh God, that you might pour into us as you poured into Cornelius your Spirit. Would you give us spiritual eyes this moment to see what we need to change? And give us courage like that of Cornelius to make sure we hear from you. And we pray for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of decision this morning is page 317, Perfect Choice, Only Trust Him. This morning, if God is speaking to you and you need to make some decision for Him, we would invite and encourage you to do so as we stand together.
Thank you.
my favorite words. Would you be seated for just a second? Now, Kevin and Taylor, come join me. Well, this probably isn't real surprising, but I love the way Taylor said. She said, we've made a family decision, and that's a good thing. And today, Taylor and Kevin Crumley come asking for membership at Flat Springs Baptist Church upon receipt of a letter from the First Baptist Church in Smithfield. Do I hear a motion that we receive them into our fellowship? Y'all are getting better, but you can still do better. I'm going to always challenge you until everybody's there. But that's enough to say that's a motion, a second. If you would join me in welcoming them and also commit again afresh to pray for them and support them as God uses them in our ministry, would you indicate that by saying, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. We're excited that God has brought you our way. And we are going to try to be the church that we need to be, that you can grow as a couple and as God has plans for you. We're going to need you to help us do that. So we're excited. Normally, Taylor's been covering this story, but I'm going to let her stand with me today. And I know you'll want to come by and extend to them the right hand of Christian fellowship, which often looks like a hug with us, but that's okay. And when you do that, you'll be saying, brother and sister, as we work together for our Lord. Would you stand with me? Our Vacation Bible School, would you keep praying for that? Because there were seeds planted in hearts and lives, and we'll let God give us that increase as we'll continue to pray down for that Holy Spirit reign. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, we are grateful this day that You have brought Kevin and Taylor into our fold and given us the responsibility to love them as brothers and sisters. You help us to do that well. And God, we are grateful that You call us to make family decisions even now as we leave this place. Family decisions in our home, but family decisions in our community and in our world at large. And we ask all these prayers as we have worshiped You this day. In Jesus' name.